That's good stuff right there. Man, turn with me, if you wouldn't mind, to Luke chapter 18. Today, I want to just talk to you about something that I think every person needs to hear. We don't share it nearly enough. But if there's anybody that's listening today that does not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I hope and pray that this will be the very day that you turn your life to Him, trust Him as your Lord and Savior. The account here in Luke chapter 18 begins like this. It's an account that begins as Jesus and His followers are traveling to Jericho. Now, as they get close to Jericho, they pass a blind man who is sitting beside the road, begging for alms or food, any kind of gifts that he could get, anything that would help him in any way whatsoever. And in their day, keep in mind, it was not like there were these disability plans. There was not a stimulus check. There was not any kind of handouts. There was no humanitarian services. There were not food banks. There were not soup kitchens. There was none of that available. So that if you were disabled and you were poor, the only recourse you had was to beg from other people. And so that's what he was doing. He was doing exactly what he needed to do in order to make a living or in order to stay alive, in order to accomplish the things he needed to accomplish. And before this day ever started, I would imagine this blind beggar thought that it would be a day like every other day. He probably thought, today I'm going to go out, I'm going to sit beside the road, I'm going to beg from those who come down the road heading to Jericho, and it'd be a day just like any other day. He had no idea that he was going to encounter what he encountered. But on this given day, he would meet Jesus. Jesus would change his life for all eternity. Jesus would change him, and this was something that he had not anticipated. He did not expect. He didn't expect this day to be any different than any other day. This man started his day in a very hopeless condition, but to encounter Christ, his hopelessness would be changed to hope. And so it's an incredible thing that took place in his life. Now today, I have to think that there are probably a lot of folks who very likely woke up this morning in a very similar situation. Probably woke up like many other days, maybe discouraged, maybe depressed and troubled, maybe struggling or feeling defeated, maybe struggling with decisions that are just incredibly difficult to bear, don't know what to do, don't know the decisions to make, and it just seems like life has gotten the best of you. But something can be different today. There can be something today that will change that outcome, and your life can be changed for all eternity, and it can be changed into a life full of hope and full of joy. And I want you to notice that this day is the very day that you may very well have been waiting for. Whether you realize it or not, if you're in that position and you realize, I have no hope, I have nowhere to turn, I don't know what lies ahead, I don't like living, but I don't want to die, I don't know what to do, I don't know where to go, I don't know what needs to take place, today I want to offer you and share with you an encounter with Jesus Christ. I want you to know what He can do. In our text, this blind man recognized something on that given day that he just could not let get past him. He knew the time was right. He knew something could take place. And I want to take a look at what this man understood and what this man encountered. And I hope that if you need an encounter with Jesus Christ, that you'll not let this time pass as well. Now, I realize that many of you are listening online. You're listening, I can't see your face. I don't know much about you. Perhaps I don't know anything about what's going on in your life, but I know this without a shadow of a doubt, that the hope for every single solitary individual is found in Jesus Christ. And we need never to forget that. Look at our text. The first thing I want you to see is this, and we're just going to rattle off a few things that he recognized it was time for. He recognized, number one, that it was a time of hope. I mean, he has spent his life in a condition where, you know, the doctors had apparently not been able to do anything. Apparently, those that surrounded him, maybe his family or whoever else it might have been, were not in a position where they could really help him or do much for him. And I would imagine he has lived his life up to this point in a pretty hopeless condition. Now, today, on this given day, he knew immediately it was a time where suddenly there was hope in his life. Hope that something could change. Hope that something could be different. Picking up in verse 35, he says this, "And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho," talking about Jesus, "a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitudes pass, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." You know, it's not until we see our hopelessness that we begin to recognize that something really needs to change. And I think too often we don't see the hopelessness of our situation. Well, he knew and he could see his hopelessness. He knew that he was blind. He recognized that. And he understood that nothing shy of a miracle could change that. It was a hopeless situation for him. Now, keep in mind, where he was sitting and coming into a popular city like Jericho, he had heard a lot of different people pass by. He probably had learned the sounds as people passed by. Maybe it was a passing army. Maybe the Roman soldiers had passed by. Maybe it was individuals that were just trading and bartering back and forth. Maybe it was just some folks who were traveling. And he had recognized a lot of different sounds. And it was sounds where he saw no hope in those. He just simply begged and hoped they would maybe give him a little bit to help him get through to the next day or whatever the case may be. But he understood that this particular group, that something was different. He calls them a multitude. That just means there was an awful lot of them. And he knew that there was something, maybe in the sheer number, maybe in the conversation that he heard, maybe in just the difference in the way these people spoke as opposed to the way other people speak. Maybe it was just a difference that he knew there was something here that just might change his life. And as he listened and as he knew that they were coming by, whatever it was he heard excited him and stirred his heart and caused him to know, you know what, something is different. I remember back in the days where I was doing some jail ministry, and the guys in that particular dorm that I would deal with, it was usually anywhere from 30 to 40 guys that were in that dorm. And you could tell the ones that wanted to be there and the ones that didn't. But it was kind of interesting because after the first couple of times that I'd been there, people started getting excited about coming because all we did was we just talked about the scripture. And they would ask questions and they'd want to know things. And it was really interesting because I had come in on one particular occasion. And as I came in, this guy said, "Man, I heard about you. I can't wait to be in your class." He was new to the dorm. I don't know what he had done. I don't know what caused him to be there. But I know that he was excited to hear something because the people that he was in dorm with had talked it up. And they had talked about it. And he knew, you know what, when this guy gets here, there is something different about him. And he might have something to share that I really need to hear. Here is the case with this individual. As these people pass by and as the individuals pass by, he hears something and he knows that there is something different in this crowd. And he hears this name Jesus and he begins to realize there is hope for me in this crowd. There is something here that I want to hear. I mean, think about all the crowds that you hear in the day. I hear a lot of crowds that are nothing but complaining and criticism. I find no hope in that. To be quite honest, when those crowds come around and when all they do is talk about that, and by the way, those crowds can be inside the church or outside the church, and all you hear is criticism and complaining, and when you hear that, you think they have no hope for me. If that's all they have, I've got to be real honest with you, I don't like watching the news right now because I feel like the media offers nothing but discouragement. I hate it. You know, in all of this COVID-19 stuff, I'll be real honest with you. I get so angry at the fact that these people are just continually talking about how awful the situation is and what's going on. And it just destroys my spirit. It brings me down. And I find no hope. What I find hope in is what Jesus Christ can do for a life. I've never in my life seen such a time where saved people are so afraid of dying. My goodness, you're saved by the grace of God. You've got more to look forward to in the afterlife than what you do here. But none brought him the same sense of hope like this group did. And as I said, he's probably encountered a lot of large parties, but none brought him the same sense of hope as this one. Maybe, just maybe, I would imagine he's thinking, this is the day. Maybe there is something that can be shared of value. Maybe there is a glimmer of hope. Maybe there is something here that can bring me something that I can hang my hat on, something I can get excited about. Here's what I know. You put Jesus in the mix and there's hope. Amen. And Jesus is in the midst of this crowd. And as this crowd is coming down, going to Jericho, we find the name Jesus standing out above all else. And I would imagine as he hears these conversations, the conversations were, did you see what Jesus did back there? Is it amazing what Jesus is doing in our life? Isn't it amazing that he has come? And you know what? I don't know who for sure that he really is, but I can see and know that he has got something to offer. I would imagine these are the kind of comments that's coming from this crowd. And some of them are going, oh, I'm telling you, he is God. I'm telling you, he is definitely sent from God. And I'm telling you for a fact that what he is doing is a godly thing. And I would imagine that here is this blind beggar and he's hearing these comments and he's thinking, this is the guy I need to see. This is who I need. This is who I need to get a grip on. For the first time in his life, he probably has hope. He spent his life with doctors saying there's nothing we can do. With a family that likely is saying, listen, honey, only thing you can do is get out there and beg because there's really nothing else you can do. This is your lot in life. This is who you are. This is what it is. And there's nothing else. But when he hears about Jesus, there is hope. And this blind beggar knows this is a time for hope. But look at what else he knew. Pick it up in verse 39. He says this. It was a time. He knew it was a time that he needed to do something. He needed to act. It was not a time for him to sit back and do nothing. It was not a time for him to just say, you know what, I'll just wish for the best, hope for the best. Maybe he'll notice me. Maybe he won't. It was not a time for that. Man, it was a time for him to take some kind of an action. He says in verse 39 and going on through 41, and they which went before rebuked him. They said, shut up, stop. Stop calling for Jesus, stop. You're not a part of our crowd. Said, and they rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Man, notice his actions. Look at what he does. The first thing he does is he's listening. What do I hear? He doesn't have the sight. But man, he has his ears and he's listening and he hears this opportunity and he hears something. He says, in hearing the multitude pass by. I think that probably has to do with what he's hearing them say and do, as we've already talked about. And so he realizes there's some benefit to me in this multitude passing by. What were these people saying? Who were they talking about? Because nothing else had given this man any hope. You know, today, you think about a lot of the things that our government offers. They might offer social reform. They might offer different types of health plans. They might offer, you know, different things. Even religious leaders might try to lead and direct. But I'm going to tell you now, the thing that this man needed even more than his sight was just Jesus in his life. And you don't want to miss that here. Because even though Jesus does something miraculous and he does something supernatural to give him back his sight, he makes it very clear that what he needs most is mercy. What he needs most is God's love. What he needs most is for God to come and be a part of his life. And we're told that this salvation, our salvation, comes by the hearing of the word. Amen? That's why he sends preachers. That's why he sends folks out to tell people about Jesus. We're told to go and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ because people are saved by the hearing of his word. Here is a man who understood that regardless of whatever handicaps he may have had in life, he understood and knew that his only hope would be in Jesus Christ. So he was listening and he heard and he knew what needed to be done. You know, I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I think that what I'm saying falling on deaf ears. But I'm here, I'm telling you today, if you are without Jesus Christ, if you've never trusted him as your Lord and Savior, I'm telling you, don't let these words fall on deaf ears. You need to hear and know that your only hope is found in Jesus Christ. And I encourage you today, listen to his word. And then the second thing we find is he spoke up. Look in verse 36. He asked what it meant. What are they talking about? Why are they talking with such excitement? You know, it's kind of hard to talk about Jesus and not get excited about it. I have a tendency to do that. I'm one of those guys that when I talk, I get, I don't know, what's the word? Dramatic? I mean, my voice gets louder and louder. And when I'm talking about something that I'm excited about, I may start in just a normal tone, but before I'm done, I'm talking like this because it's so exciting. I do that with Jesus. You know, when you think about what he has done for our life, when you think about the fact that we were lost and dying, bound for hell, and he came along and died for our sins and gave us the opportunity to receive that. He paid the penalty for us, and I have the opportunity to be washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ and have everlasting life. I have to tell you, that excites me. I don't deserve that. I'm not entitled to that. God just loved me enough that he died for me. That's what I see. And so we're told that he spoke up. He said, wait a minute. Don't rebuke me. Don't tell me to stop. I'm not going to stop calling out for Jesus Christ. I want him. And so even though they tried to tell him, listen, just stop. This is Jesus of Nazareth. He don't have time for you. He's a busy man. He's got other things to do. I got news for you. Jesus thought differently. You know, it's kind of funny when you think about this because you think, had he heard of Jesus before? Had there been other groups that passed by that maybe he had heard something? Maybe he had heard people talk about the fact that he had done miracles or he had accomplished some things. For him to hear the name Jesus and think, oh, he might can do for me what I've heard about him doing for others. You know, his fame probably spread abroad, healing folks, feeding folks, sharing truths they had never heard, putting the religious leaders of the day in their place. And he didn't want to miss an opportunity to know Jesus. You know, it's interesting, but people today will do anything within their ability to have their diseases healed, will they not? I mean, seriously. I've known folks that have traveled even outside of the United States for particular doctors or hospitals that specialize in whatever it is they're dealing with. And we'll spend every dime we have. I've heard of folks losing their homes and losing their businesses in order to make sure that they had made ends meet so that they could offer the very best medical care to people they loved and cared for. By the way, you know, if we could see the seriousness of our spiritual condition, we'd do the same thing. Those without Jesus Christ, if they could see how serious that is, if they could see what sin has done to their life, if they could see the control that Satan has over them or the control that the world has over them, if they could see those things, would they not be begging for Jesus Christ? Would they not go to great lengths to find Jesus Christ? Here is a man who was at rope's end. And here is a man who saw the needs in his life and realized my only hope is going to be Jesus. You know, the worst ailments in our society today is not this COVID-19. It's that folks are lost and dying and going to hell. That's a concern. And folks, we have got to get back in the business of telling people about Jesus. We have the solution. We have what they need. I don't have the vaccine for COVID-19, but I've got the vaccine for a sin-filled life and a life bound for hell, and it's Jesus and him alone. Amen. We find that he asked for mercy. By the way, if we could see our condition, would we not plead for Jesus? Please. I don't want to go to hell. Please, I don't want to die lost. Please, I want some hope. I want future. I want everlasting life. Would we not plead for Jesus? He asked for mercy. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. There was a multitude of people that was passing by. He did not call on any one of them by name. He did not call any one of them out except Jesus. It was Jesus that he was interested in. I don't know who was in the crowd, but it's a good possibility some of the disciples were in the crowd. He didn't say, hey, Peter, I need to talk to you about something. He didn't call out unto any of the others, Andrew, if you got something to say, I need to share something, please talk to me. Oh no, he wanted Jesus. He knew who to call for. And he called out unto Jesus Christ. He said, Jesus, thou son of David. Let's not confuse you with any other Jesus that might be in the crowd. Let's not confuse you with somebody else that just happens to have the name Jesus. I want to make sure we clarify, Jesus, thou son of David. I want to make sure we know what Jesus I'm talking about. And I'm calling out unto you, have mercy on me. Jesus, it's you. Nobody else. I got news for you. You can confess your sins all day long to me, and I can't do squat about it. I can't fix them. Jesus can fix them. Don't call out unto Mary. She can't fix them, and she can't even persuade Jesus to fix them for you. It's only Jesus. Call out unto Jesus. We have but one mediator, Jesus. We have but one Savior, Jesus. We have but one Lord, Jesus. We have but one hope of that great salvation and everlasting life, and it's Jesus. And he found that out quickly, and as they were passing by, Jesus, our son of David, have mercy on me. He asked for mercy, which says he clearly knows that he doesn't deserve the attention. I love that about him. He's humble about it. Oh, he's bold. He's not letting anybody shut him up. He's bold. But he also understood he didn't deserve it. Have mercy. Mercy on me. You know, people fall into Satan's trap all the time thinking that God owes them something. Well, I'm going to trust myself unto the Lord Jesus Christ and I can just do as I please. No, the Lord don't owe you something. Keep in mind that if you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're indebted to him. We owe him. And we need to understand that we trust him and we follow him and we do what God has called us to do. You know, it's interesting because people are looking around at even like with what we're dealing with these days. And they're going, "What? I can't believe that God would let this kind of thing happen. I'm so mad at God." I got news for you. What could we possibly do to say that God owes us any different? Owes us something different than what we're dealing with. I mean, darkness is all around us. Man has chosen darkness over light. And the only light we have is the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our light. You know, he could have said, Jesus, heal me. I don't deserve this. What kind of God would allow this? He could have said, I didn't deserve this illness. I can't believe that we serve a God that would let this happen. He could have said all of that. He could have said, God, I'm having a pity party right now and I feel sorry for myself. He didn't do any of that. He said, have mercy upon me. I deserve what a God. I deserve where I am. I'm a sinner. I know that. I get it. But have mercy on me. Give me something. I mean, do something for me. I'm right where I need to be. But dear God, take away what I deserve. Give me something better. Mercy, not getting what we really do deserve. I think that's incredible. You know, he saves us out of the very pits of hell, which is what we all deserve, because he's a merciful God. And by the way, by his grace, he gives us heaven. He gives us what we don't deserve. So he keeps back what we do deserve, and he gives us what we don't deserve. Incredible God. This guy got it. Have mercy on me. I deserve to be right where I'm at. I'm not saying I deserve any more. I'm saying be merciful. God, do something incredible. You know, it's a real problem these days when we're thinking about this, because I'm told that depression is a really, really serious thing. In fact, what you're probably not seeing is right now during all this COVID stuff, depression has gotten really bad. Suicides have really kind of going out of the roof. In fact, I was just checking, and one of the suicide hotlines has as much as 75 times more calls than usual. Why? Because the world has done nothing but instill fear. The world has done nothing but instill fear. Listen, our God is not a God of fear. In fact, Jesus Christ will take away the fear. No more fear of dying if you know you have an eternal home. No more fear of what this world can do to you when you know you've got Jesus by your side. No more fear. Can I get a disease? Sure, I can get a disease. Am I going to die? In all likelihood, I'll die at some point in time. I'm not immune from those things, but here's what I know. I have Jesus Christ, and my everlasting life is secure in Him. That's what I know. By pleading for mercy, this man realized that his greatest need was not his blindness. His greatest need was the fact that he was a sinner in need of a Savior. Well, what else did we find? He exercised his faith. Verse 41, he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." He knew what Jesus could do. Bible's clear. By grace are you saved through faith. He called him Lord. He knew who he was. He knew what he could do. And the only hope we had to receive anything of the Lord is through faith as well. He exercised his faith. Now, I'm not talking about just faith in humanity. I'm not talking about faith in yourself. I'm talking about the substance of your faith, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I've heard people say to those who have rejected Christ, they'll say this. They'll say, if you're right and I'm wrong, I've lost nothing. But if I'm right and you're wrong, you've lost everything. And while that statement's true, I have a little problem with it. There's an element of that that I really wrestle with. It's not enough to simply just say, oh, well, I think I'll just jump over onto God's side, and that way, you know, I play the odds. That's not the issue here. It's a matter of faith. You must truly believe the gospel message by faith and accept it to be true. Jesus, just calling out that I want to be a Christian, I'm going to live like a Christian, is not going to do much for you. It's knowing Christ. The next thing we find is this. He knew that it was a time of crisis. He says in verse 39, they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried, so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He knew it was a time of crisis. He knew, you know what? This is critical. I'm blind. I'm going to spend the rest of my life doing this very thing. And I'll be without Jesus. It's a critical moment for me. I'm here to tell you that this is a critical moment for those of you who do not know Jesus Christ. It's critical in the fact that you need to know that your only hope is in Him. You know, we've all faced some type of a crisis in our life, have we not? Maybe it was a financial crash. Maybe you've had to face some type of medical emergency or some type of emotional breakdown. I don't really know. But regardless, it's sometimes we reach that point where it's all we can stand. And we think, this is it. I can't deal with any more. Quite possibly, that's where this man was. It was a time of crisis for him. He may have thought, you know what? If Jesus doesn't do anything for me today, if this doesn't happen, I'm done. It may have been a real time of crisis for him. It was a time of decision. There was something that had to take place. His only answer was passing right before his eyes. And I got to tell you, if you're without Jesus Christ, you're passing. That crisis situation is passing right before you as well. It's a moment that you need to think about this. Do I choose Christ or do I reject Him? It's a matter of crisis. It's a critical moment. You may, at this very moment, with the decisions that are in your heart and life, be making a decision for heaven or hell. Making a decision to have Jesus Christ as a very real part of your life or throwing Him aside and Him being nothing to you. He also knew this. Being a time of crisis, it would be a moment that would soon pass. They were walking by him. They didn't stop and eat their lunch there. They hadn't stopped and set up tents. They were passing him by. He knew it was a time that was going to pass in just a moment. Once this multitude had passed by, his opportunity to see Jesus and to know Jesus was gone. His opportunity for Jesus to be a part of his life might very well be gone forever. Now, there's that possibility that they'll come back that way, but he doesn't know that. What he knows, if I miss this opportunity, I might have missed it forever. What would have happened if he had given up on his first cry? What if when they said, stop it, when they rebuked him and said, don't bother the man, he said, oh, I'm sorry. And just sat back. What would have happened? See, he wasn't all about that. He knew it was a crisis moment for him. And he knew that if he didn't take advantage of this moment, that he might not have another opportunity to do so. This was a moment that was going to pass him by. He needed to seize it. Where will you be today if you don't take advantage of this opportunity? What if What if there's not another opportunity? You know, God doesn't promise another opportunity. If God's dealing with your heart and life today, it's that moment to receive Him. What if He doesn't give you that other opportunity? What if He never passes by in your life again? You know, there's no guarantees that He will. What if He knew it was a time that would soon pass? But the last point is this. He knew it could be a time of victory. He knew this could be the day that I win. Man, I've been defeated my whole life. My whole life, I've never had the assurity. I've never had the hope. I've never had that knowledge, that understanding that Jesus Christ could save me and give me everlasting life. I've never had that. This could be the moment of victory. He says in verses 42 and 43, and Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. His request for mercy had come. God had given him the victory. I can assure you of this. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you call upon the name of the Lord, if you ask for His mercy, if you trust Him, if you call out unto Him, He'll save you. Guaranteed, He'll save you. He'll bring you right into His home. He'll bring you right into His surroundings. He'll love you. He'll care for you. He'll extend unto you His love and His mercy and all the attributes of God. He'll be your God if you'll trust Him by faith. His hope for the future was restored. Can you imagine living your whole life with no hope? And then suddenly, in just a moment, all of that changes. When I was 12 years old, I received Jesus Christ at Salem Baptist Church down in Russell Springs, Kentucky. At that moment, at the very moment that I trusted Jesus Christ, my future was secured. At that very moment, my hope was restored. At that very moment, I knew from there on out I was His child. This man's future was bright, and he followed Jesus Christ, glorifying Him. By the way, that's significant. If you've truly trusted Him, if He's extended His mercy upon you, understand and know that very moment you'll spend the rest of your life glorifying Him. His security in heaven was absolutely sure. More than healing his blind eyes, his faith in Jesus Christ brought to him salvation. I want to use an illustration. We sing a lot of songs by a woman by the name of Fanny Crosby. She was a great hymn writer, and she was blind from birth. Once upon a time, a man had asked her if she were to have the opportunity to see, would she take it? Here was her answer. She said, no. Of course, he was pretty puzzled by that answer. So he asked her to explain. She said, because I want the first face that I see to be of that, be that of my blessed Savior, Jesus Christ. She said, I'll be healed one day. When I stand in His presence, I'll look to Him. I want that to be the first face that I see. Folks, I'm here to tell you something. I can't wait to see Jesus, the one who saved us, one who gave us everlasting life. You know, the Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, it's a simple matter of believing Jesus Christ. It's a simple matter of trusting Him, knowing that He died for your sins, He was buried, and that He resurrected to give you everlasting life. Today, let me encourage you. Call upon Him. Don't let this moment pass. God's dealing with your heart and life. He's passing by. He's dealing with you. Don't let it pass. Trust Him and know without a shadow of a doubt, my hope is in Jesus Christ. Today, if you're in this building or if you're at home, it doesn't matter where you are. Let me encourage you. Call upon Jesus Christ right now. God, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I'm calling out for Your mercy. Be merciful unto me. I believe You to be Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, who came and died for my sins, who resurrected to give me life. I call upon You to forgive me of my sins. Be my Savior. Today, can you do that? Can you trust Him? I'm going to ask those of you that are here, please stand if you would. We'll be singing page 482. Jesus is calling. But listen, don't let this day pass if you're without Christ. Make sure that it's a day where you trust Him. Let's sing a verse of that, Scotty.